Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to the best radio station inside of my house in Bellamy, Texas. The Love Lift Me Up Show, featuring gospel artists, psalmists, authors, educators, and community leaders. Let's give it up for the new Love Lift Me Up Show with Dr.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Love Live Jesus Sub Ministry, where Jesus shines with love. I am your host today, Alfreda Love, and today we have a very special guest, Miss Yolanda Spivey, but first let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for just blessing us to wake up this morning. We thank you for starting us on our way, Lord. We're asking you that you bless this segment to be something that you are pleased with, which you bless each guest who come on the show, bless their ministries, bless what they're doing, Heavenly Father. And we're just asking you, would something be said or done to help edify, glorify, and magnify your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. And I'm going to read a psalm to you very quickly, and then we will go into our interview with Miss Spivey. Okay, so I'm going to read Psalms 100, 1 through 5. A psalm of praise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his court with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. I have read to you Psalm 1 through 5. May the Lord add a blessing to the hearers, doers, and the seekers of his holy word. And now the moment you've been waiting for. This young lady is a community activist. She's a writer and a treasure to issues relating to the community. I would like to introduce the song and present to others Miss Yolanda Spivey. Miss Spivey, are you on the line?
Yes, Miss Love. How are you?
Good. Thank you for coming. I appreciate that.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. Miss Spivey, can you kind of give us a background about different topics that you write about concerning the community and how all of this came about?
Oh, wow. Anything that you can think of, I write about as far as it relates to the black community, especially when it comes to, like, incarceration or police brutality. And what I love the most is past brutality that we experienced as a nation, you know, as black people in this country. Mm-hmm. So that's how, you know, that's mostly what I write about. Yeah, I'll be happy to tell you how this all came about. I'll tell you my personal story, which led me to this journey
okay,
that I'm on.
Great.
Okay. Well, back in 2009, I lost my job. I was an insurance person or an account exec for a broker house. And anywho, I went back to college. I had 2 years to complete. Went back. I remember at the time I was applying for so many jobs, and I just could not find a job. And a young white girl in my class, she was telling me, oh, I found a job. You know, she never worked a day in her life or anything like that. And she was able to secure a very high-paying job, and I asked her, how did she get the job? And she said, I just walked into the place applying for a receptionist position, and I came out as a manager because the lady said, the human resource personnel, that she liked me, and she thought that, you know, I will be an asset to the organization. And I'm like, wow, how does that happen? Here it is, a young white girl never had never worked a day in her life, didn't have her degree yet, but still secured a very high-paying job. And at the time, black unemployment was in the double digits. And I wasn't getting a job. So I went undercover as a white woman, and I changed my name to Bianca White. I kept my resume the same. And I started to apply for jobs as a white woman. And I could not believe that I was getting responses as, you know, this white woman. I just couldn't believe that this white woman was getting so many responses and also job offers. So I wrote about my experiment, and that I've been writing ever since.
Wow. Now let me ask you, when you was going through that process of being a, you know, a white woman, what was the perception when you would walk into the interview? How did that affect your securing the job,
I never went into the interviews. What I did was I made both resumes live on monster.com. This was the employment search tool I was using. And on Monster, they have a diversity questionnaire that you must complete before you can apply for a job. So I listed Bianca's resume as a white woman, and I kept mine as a black woman. And I made both resumes live at the same time on Monster, and I allowed the employers to come to me to see who would bite. And they all, most of them, went to Bianca White, the fictitious profile that I had created. So, yes. Now, the experiment that I did, it only lasted for a week. I didn't pursue anything out of it. I didn't go after the employers or anything like that or tell them what I had done. I was a little frustrated, and it just proved my point that there was still racism within the, you know, employment sector. And I wrote about it. And as a result of me writing about it, I was able to, you know, voice my opinion on national shows and things of that nature. So, you know, just to bring attention to the discrimination that still persists in this country.
Right. And I have a question about that. So how do you think that I would say the country too. How do you think the country can, in other words, not put on blinders, but could get past the fact that, you know, that can basically embrace Dr. King's concept where we look at our character rather than our skin color? Do you ever think we'll get past that?
Yes, once President Obama's out of office. I hate to say it like that, but the reason why I say that is because before he came, went into office, I had never had a problem finding employment, never, ever. But ever since he's been in office, the economy has been really, really bad, and I think that some of the, you know, the employment sector, these corporations are keeping jobs for white people, you know, for fellow white people, because I can't explain, you know, why, you know, the black unemployment rate is in the double digits. But I know through my experiment that I am being, you know, discriminated against because of my race. So I don't know how people can get past this. I mean, they really just have to, how can they put up blinders? Will racism ever end? I don't know.
Okay, and this is, I'm so happy that I have almost 2 hours to speak with you, but no, I'm just kidding. But, okay, so let me ask you this. This is what I'm hearing from you. You tell me, you know, say, Alfreda, you're totally wrong, because a lot of people want to hear this, your particular interview, because it's so dynamic. But what I'm hearing is basically you're saying in so many words that some of the nation is upset because an African-American president is in office, and so therefore, as a consequence that many jobs are given, you're saying, to other races because of this. So you're saying that the black community is being punished. Is that what you're saying, or am I totally reading you wrong?
No, that's just what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. That's partially it. I'm not saying that the whole nation is thinking this way, but a number
That's
of nations,
right.
a majority of them are. I mean, this Bianca White character that I created was offered positions in Minnesota and other states that I didn't live in. People were willing to relocate her and fly her out for interviews just because on her profile she listed that, you know, I listed that she was white. Our resumes were the same. Our educational backgrounds mirrored each other. Nothing changed but the name and the race. That is it. So it puzzled me that she was getting so many offers, and I, Yolanda, wasn't getting anything at all. It was puzzling.
Now, let me ask you this, because when you were speaking, I was thinking about this. Now, in certain corporations, in certain jobs, the employers or the CEOs are looking for specific maybe individuals or cultures due to the climate within their corporation. For instance, if we were serving, for instance, I'm just making up something, if we were serving individuals who spoke another language, then we would seek individuals who were bilingual. So do you think maybe that played a part, or was it, you know, I just don't want Yolanda because she's black and I want Bianca because she's white?
Wow, bilingual. I'm bilingual. I speak Ebonics and, you know, English. Bianca only speaks English.
Right.
No, but on a serious note, no, I really do not think that played a part. I mean, most of the jobs that I was applying for were still in the insurance sector.
Okay.
They didn't require that anyone be bilingual. Bianca definitely wasn't bilingual. She didn't list down, you know, on her criteria that she was. So everything, like I said, was identical. There was no changes. And as far as, you know, the jobs that we were applying for, they were just straight up, you know, insurance jobs, no specialties added to it, nothing. So... Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you have the right to ask, you know, well, you know, I qualify for it, but why wasn't I selected?
Exactly.
Did you ever follow up like that?
No, but I do know, like, a couple of years after, because this experiment happened in 2011. I went into after I graduated college and everything and did the experiment. And I do recall, like, last year sometime, even after this story broke, okay, and when I say, like, over a million hits, this story got, like, over a million hits. But last year sometime, you know, I still was getting calls for Bianca White. And I'm like, are you serious? Like, people were actually still calling her. And one of the guys that called, because he was so persistent, I told him about my little experiment, and he was angry at me. He was angry, as if I wasted his time. You know, but then I asked him, are you hiring? Because I still need a job. Oh, yeah, send me your resume. But I didn't send it because I felt that he really didn't, you know, he wasn't interested in seeing my resume. So I just left it alone. Yeah.
So before we go to your writing and things that you do in the community, have you ever thought about writing a book about this experiment and also giving solutions that you perceive would work? Because a lot of people look up to you because, first of all, of the experiment and the research. And you have identified and you have brought out an issue that might be going on in certain areas, or it may be going on across the country. And maybe, you know, if you bring this experiment out and bring an awareness to it with solutions, you know, maybe something will change. I'm not saying the whole world, but if people are aware of what they're doing, then maybe people can change.
Exactly. And you are way ahead of me. That is just what I'm working on right now. I am working on a book, yes, in regards to the whole incident. And also in regards to, I don't want to give it away too much, but just in regards to what black people can do if they are faced with certain obstacles in the workplace. And I'll leave it at that. I don't want to give away too much, but I do hope that you have me on a future show when the book comes out so that we can discuss it in full detail.
Okay, that'll work. That'll work. Now, let's turn the page and go to your writing, because when I go to a particular website, I always see Yolanda Spivey on, like you said, you study a lot about the African-American community. Can you tell me, I know you said you mostly write about police brutality, and I think you write some more articles. Can you give me a little background about the statistics you're finding or the trends?
Yes, sure. Definitely. So I do write on the Your Black World platform. I don't know if you guys are familiar with it or not.
Yes.
It's headed by Dr. Boyce Watkins. And within that division, we have a team called the Social Justice Team that he allowed me to head up. And the Social Justice Team, we get a lot of emails from people from all over the United States in the black community who feel that they have been discriminated against or something really bad happened to them, and they want to bring light to it. And the reason why they come to us is because they, you know, exhausted all of their resources. They may have went to the NAACP or, you know, any other organization for help and didn't get the help that they needed. So they will come to us, tell us their issues. We will write about their issue, and voila, can you believe that they will get the help that they need finally? There was like once we publicize what their issue is, they get the help. So there was one girl who I wrote about in detail. Her name was Gabrielle Calhoun, a young, she 4.0 student. She graduated like a year before her time, 16 years old, went into college. She was, you know, everything was promising to her. Anywho, she went out one night with her friends, and they went to a Denny's in Bloomington, Illinois. And there was like some type of altercation that happened in the parking lot that she wasn't a part of, but as a result, Denny's told all the black people to get out of their restaurant. And while she's leaving out the restaurant, a cop mistook her for being part of the whole, you know, crowd of people that were starting trouble. And one of the cops took their baton and slammed it in her face and broke her teeth. This poor 16-year-old girl's front teeth out of her mouth and knocked her unconscious. And let me tell you, she's only like 100 pounds soaking wet. She's a little tiny petite thing. And the cops kept saying, you hit us. You attacked us first. And she said, I didn't attack the cop. I just reacted. Someone was on my arm. There was so much chaos going around. I didn't know who was touching me, and I just pulled away. And they knocked her unconscious. And that's just the tip of the iceberg of what they did to this young lady. I mean, they walked her around the parking lot, and she had a tube top on it. The tube top fell down, exposing her breast. I mean, she was, like, embarrassed, okay, in addition to being injured and hurt. When she got to the police station, not only did they deny her a doctor, they kept her in a cell for like a couple of days before she was able to be released. So with that being said, she went to the NAACP. She went to other organizations to try to get help, and she just couldn't get any help. And so finally, when she came to Your Black World and we wrote about her, we believed her. First of all, first and foremost, we believed her, because everyone else who, encountered her, they didn't quite believe her story. They thought maybe she was at fault. But I'm thinking, wait a minute, this girl's an A-plus student, graduated a year before her time. How much trouble can she really be? She just was out, you know, having a good time with her friends. How much trouble can she really be? And we exposed it. We exposed what happened, and Jesse Jackson came to, you know, her aid. I know Chaka Khan did some stuff with her to help her, and now she's, you know, getting the help that she needs.
Wow. That's good.
Yeah. Okay. So we write stories like that. Another case that I'm working on currently is of a young boy who lives in North Carolina, and he's still stuck in jail for an attempted murder charge after the victim says that he didn't do it. but he's still stuck in jail. Didn't get a trial yet. He's been in there for like 2 years now. And his mother is desperately trying to get him out. So we're still working on that story, you know, updating the public on his condition and everything. There's a lot of twists and turns to that story. It's just unbelievable. But, yeah, those are the main things that I do write about.
Okay. Now let me ask you this, because I know you know some things in the community with our youth. Tell me some of the trends that you see with our youth, and what can we do as a community to, I guess, help bring an awareness to the problems, because that's what I'm working on right now, and also to turn around some of these behaviors that we see in the community, the killings and the things like that.
God. I know. I was just talking about this on New York radio program because, you know, I was talking with a young white girl, and she was asking me, like, why are you guys killing each other? Like, you know, she just couldn't understand it. And I'm oh, goodness, well, I'm not killing, you know, them. I'm out here trying to stop the killings, you know.
That's right.
And one thing that came up was the subject of love, loving yourself, loving your community, and, you know, just love. That is something that I think, and it's so cliche. I know it is cliche, Miss Love. But we need love, you know.
That's right.
We are so apathetic in a black community. It's apathetic.
Yes.
No one cares for one another anymore. It's evident that no one cares about what these rap singers are talking about. They don't care about the black community, because if they did, they would consciously select their lyrics a little bit better.
You know,
they wouldn't just rap about the this, that, this hole here and this nigga here, and, you know, excuse my language, or, you know, any of that. They will be a little bit more conscious in their lyrics. But because we are a community that is lacking that old school neighborhood love that we once had in the 60s, we're in the predicament that we're in now. No one cares anymore. No one is, like, sticking their neck out for each other anymore. You know?
Right.
And that's why we're in this predicament. We really need to reach our younger people. And so I know it starts at home. I know it starts at home, but home is filled, in some communities, in some households, home is filled with a plethora of issues that starts with the parents. The parents has issues, so they are putting these issues on their children. And then the children are putting these issues on other kids. And as a result, they're killing each other in the streets.
That's right.
It's love.
That's right. And
we are
also what I'm And also what I see is, you know, when we talk about rap music, especially the vulgar rap with the, you know, dirty language lyrics, a lot of these rappers are making millions of dollars, and so that's all our young people see. The only thing I see is green. That's what I want to do. But what they don't realize is that when they're using this out on the street, they're not inheriting anything but trouble. They're not inheriting money for, you know, for cursing or drinking. It's just trouble. And so if we can get them past that particular stigma, then that's one step closer towards where they need to be.
Exactly. And also we have to let them know, these young kids, that being a rapper and an athlete is just, it's not what they should aspire to do. You know, some of them think that this is what they are, because this is what they, this is the only thing that they see black men and women in, is being a rapper and an athlete, you know, these glitzy, glamorous careers that nets, you know, fast money. And they don't want to work hard to being that doctor, lawyer, teacher, whatever it is that they, you know, other professions that they can get into. They don't want to work hard towards that. They want to take the easy way out. And they think that being an athlete, you know, a rapper is the easy way out. There are more to us than just running a ball and rapping about a ball. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
There's more to it than, to us than just that. So
You're right.
That we've really got to reach these babies. That's, you know, I'm reaching my son. I'm, you know, I'm grooming him to be, you know, great. you know.
Right.
Because white people, they groom their kids to be great, so I'm grooming my kid to be great. I'm grooming him because I want him to be more than just, you know, an actor, a rapper, you know, athlete, whatever.
Right.
So.
And when you speak about grooming your son, a lot of people, some individuals, like, they'll inbox me or they'll call me and ask, you know, what do I do next? My son or my daughter is out of control. They may be 15, 16. What advice as a parent would you give that particular parent? And I know we're going off of the topic of, you know,
okay,
what you write about, but you're grooming your son and you say that you're successful at it, so other people need to hear this.
Oh, man. First of all, my kid is only 8, so I'm still in the process.
Okay.
But I will say
all
this.
Right.
I will say this. First of all, it's so important. This is one. This might be a little off topic, but it's so important that us black women, if we're not with the child's father, that the child knows his or her father. That's number
right.
one. Okay. Mm-hmm. Even if there's a support issue, just allow your child to know who their other half is. If that's
right.
not feasible, allow your child to have a mentor. Just mentor
mm-hmm.
your child. Also, I know we live in a hood. Look, I'm from New York, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm from Harlem. Back in the days, you know, I grew up around in the 80s where the crack epidemic was at an all-time high, and I grew up in a really tough neighborhood. But my mother always took the time out to take my sisters and I downtown in Manhattan to see a different way of life. And we grew up that way, yeah. So I really think that black people, I know you live in a hood and stuff like that, but you still probably live in a city that offers museums and other, you know, sections of the city that your kids can experience. Allow them to leave the hood. Try to get a mentor for your children. There are plenty of mentors out there that can show your children a different way of life. I had plenty of mentors. Doctors, lawyers, you know, people in my church at the time that I looked up to. And I think by looking at them, it changed my way of life. I wanted to be one of those strong women that I saw, you know, downtown in Manhattan. Or, you know, my mother surrounded us with black doctors and things like that. We had, like, great examples all around us. And my mom was a teenage mom, you know, but yet
mm-hmm.
she knew the importance of showing us something a little different. And that's what she did. And as a result, all her kids graduated from high school, and half of us all graduated from college. And she
mm-hmm.
had 6 kids.
Now, and I want to be real clear about this. Now, mm-hmm. every African-American person does not live in the hood, but
I know that.
You know what I mean? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But
No. Yeah,
we're talking.
I said my doctor, she lived downtown on Fifth, Park and Fifth, and she was a black woman. I was very impressed with my pediatrician. I was very impressed. I know they don't.
Right. I just want to be clear because some people are saying,
yeah.
No, that's not my story. But the dynamics and what we're speaking about is that every person, no matter what color you are, can be successful if you surround yourselves by positive people, and that's what Yolanda's saying. And it, you
yes.
know, and every culture may have lived in the hood. We don't know. But the thing
mm-hmm.
is, it's not really where you come from. It's what you do, you
it's
know.
What you do.
Once you, yeah, and once what you get out of it and what you do, the impact that you make. Because everybody is not in a favorable position, but they're still successful.
Right. Can I just tell you, I have a close girlfriend of mine. She grew up in a foster home. And
mm-hmm.
her house, the house that she grew up was a house of horrors, okay? House
mm-hmm.
of horrors. And when they scooped up these kids to take them out the house, you know, they were eating animal feces. It was just really, really bad.
Right.
They scooped up the kids. There was like 8 of them in total. Took them out the house.
Mm-hmm.
And her brother and her were split up. Her
mm-hmm.
brother went on to another foster home with lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, just by being around the lawyers,
mm-hmm.
looking at their lifestyle, seeing
mm-hmm.
how they were normal, you know, he wanted that. And so he
mm-hmm.
went on and became a lawyer.
Oh, wow.
You know, yes. So just by him looking at something just different inspired
right.
this young man to do different.
Right.
You know, that's my point. That's, you know.
That's right.
That's my
right.
point.
Okay.
So.
And when we talk about, what do you think about what is the relationship between the success of people, whether it be children or adults, and religion or spirituality?
Oh, wow. Mm. Okay, the success of people and spirituality. Wow, we're going deep, aren't we? Okay.
You know,
okay,
we're talking about community.
I know. My spiritual views are a little bit warped, I will admit, due to how I grew up. But I will say that that's something that we are lacking today is spirituality. When black people were much closer to God as they were in the 60s, they were more uniformed. They came together a little bit more. Church was at the center of their community, and it kept everyone together. And now we don't have that anymore. We do have church, but it seems as if church is now for the elite or the middle class or the upper middle class, you know. I see, you know, I don't see church really too much in the poor communities, and if I do, they're not filled. They're not filled mm-hmm. up. But we are lacking spirituality. And even the ones that go, like, these higher up black people that we see all the time, you don't see them. They don't have, like, a spiritual base anymore either.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see a lot of people thanking God anymore on award shows and things of that nature. A lot of people just don't have a spiritual base. So we are lacking spirituality in our community. We really are.
That's right. That's right. So, Ms. Bob, if you were going to speak to the audience who's listening, what would you tell them to kind of summarize everything and, you know, what as far as different hot topics in the community and what are some things that they can do to, I guess, help their particular community?
Oh, wow. What I would say first is to something that we don't do, which is why mm-hmm. we're in trouble right now, is to remember our past.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I do ever so often, I write articles about our past, and I make sure those articles are as hurtful as possible so that we mm-hmm. can remember things that were done to us that we choose to forget about. They are painful,
mm-hmm.
but we should never forget that these things occurred. Things that happened, like with Emmett Till. I wrote an article, Ms. Love, recently, about black
mm-hmm.
women who were lynched. Okay.
Oh wow.
We
mm-hmm.
have to, yeah. In a turn of the 19th, 20th century, black women were lynched too, like black men. And some of these women
mm-hmm.
were pregnant. Oh, goodness. We can go into that in another segment. But as far as answering your question, is number one, remembering our past, paying homage to our ancestors, you know, developing some type of spirituality that we can pass this on to our children. Also, we really have to start loving and respecting each other and stop judging each other. We judge each other a little bit too much, and we really need to encourage one another. Anytime you see a black person as different, we are always, like, you know, disrespecting that person or talking about that person, or we should respect that person. They're here for a reason. And, you know, collectively just love each other so that we can have a more strong and support. That's another thing. We need to support each other. That's something that we do not do anymore. We do not support black-owned businesses. We do not support one another in any endeavors. We really need to support one another.
Amen.
Every other race of people do except for us, which is why we are in the hellhole that we're in now.
Mm-hmm.
Every other race support each other, Jews, Chinese, every other race except for us.
Why do you think that? Why do you think? What's the reason? Do you?
This is my reason, okay?
Okay.
Back in the day, mm-hmm. when black people did support each other,
mm-hmm.
Every time when they tried to support each other, every time when we tried to segregate ourselves from the, you know, this America here, our neighborhoods were always burnt down. Our neighborhoods were virtually destroyed. When I think about Black Wall Street, I wrote an article about that recently too.
Mm-hmm.
When I think about Black Wall Street and also Wilmington, North Carolina, Rosewood, all these little black neighborhoods that were established, that were self-contained, where the dollar circulated over 30 times before it left the community, these communities were destroyed. And I think mm-hmm. it put fear in our, you know, grandparents, because those are the people who lived during those times. I think it put fear in their hearts. And as a result, we just stopped, you know, we developed this thinking that, you know, buying white is right. Buying mm-hmm. white is a better quality. You get a better quality of service if you buy white. And it's also probably, that's one point, and some people probably desire to buy white because, you know, when you're denied something, you kind of desire to try to obtain it. When you're denied, you know, a lot of black people were denied to go into these department stores. A lot of black people were denied to eat at the counter. I think in the back of our mind, we kind of desired to fit in. We wanted that life. We wanted the same rights. And as a result, when we got a chance to, we abandoned every and anything that was black and started to, you know, just do things mainstream. And it damaged mm-hmm. us as a result of it. And as a result of it, we stopped supporting each other. So
mm-hmm.
I hope.
I understand.
Okay. I hope I didn't go off topic too much, but, you know, yeah.
No, I understand. I'm following you because I was thinking, when I buy something, I'm going to buy what I want, whether it's black, white, whatever color it is. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I see what
mm-hmm.
you're saying. We need to break those barriers that I'm not going to support this because of this. And
yeah.
basically get what you can afford, get what you want. You
now,
know?
I know some black people who feel that, oh, you know, they even say this to me. Every time when I buy something black or I go to a black establishment, I'm always met with a bad attitude or, you know, bad service, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
They, you know, first of all, that could be true, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That could
right.
very well be true, which shows mm-hmm. that we need to step up our game when it comes to customer service and things like that and treating one another with respect. You know, someone
right.
is buying from me. I am going to be happy that they made the decision to purchase from me. But these same black people will go into, like, a white store or a mainstream establishment and purchase something and will be, you know, they'll get discriminated against and think nothing of it, followed around
mm-hmm.
in the store and think nothing of it. Think anything of it. That's bad service right there, too. So.
Well, see, you got to, Ms. Spivey, see, I'm country. I'm from Texas. So
mm-hmm.
when if people follow me around the store, I say, y'all going to buy me something? They say, oh, no. I'm making it to a joke. You know, I don't take it.
Yes.
It all depends on how you're going to take it. If they want to follow you around, they must want to buy you something.
Exactly.
That's how I take it.
Yes.
We just have to kind of, we just have to kind of make it a positive experience sometimes.
Yes,
yeah, I totally
do.
Understand what you Yeah.
We do.
Yep. So is there anything else on your heart you'd like to say?
Oh, goodness. What else can I say? I mean, as a result, another thing I would like to say is probably for us black people to be a little bit more self-reliant, start establishing our own businesses. I know, for instance, when, you know, that whole Bianca White experiment took place and I couldn't find employment, and still to this day I can't find employment. I've been looking, still can't find employment, but it's okay. I did open up my own insurance brokerage with the hopes of trying to sell insurance on my own. It's been hard, but, you know, I've tried to go the entrepreneurial route. And I think that a lot more black people should also go that way if they are being met with a barrage of discrimination. So
let me ask you, Yolanda, because your conversation is very interesting. And let me ask you this. Okay, this is what I wanted to tell you. Don't get discouraged.
I won't.
And keep trying, you know,
I will.
To apply. You know, maybe this is, and I'm bringing in my Christianity, you have to excuse me. This may be God's way of testing your patience. This may be God's way of allowing you to do some things that is for your good or for your purpose. So,
yes.
But the
I
thing is
that.
Not to give up. I don't want you to feel, I'm just being honest with you, I don't want you to feel like because of the color of my skin or because of this, I'm not getting a job. It may be related to, some of it may be related to what God's plan is for you because you're an excellent writer. To be honest, I read all of your articles that you put out.
Oh, my goodness.
That's what captured my interest. I said, man, I want to talk to this lady. That's what captured my interest.
Yeah.
And I
Thank
really,
you for the support.
You know, yes, I will always support you. You might want to also, and I'm just a person too, but you might want to also look into writing, like go to like businesses that focus on, you know, writing because that's your niche too, you know. But
yeah, that's
I don't
what
want
I've
to
been
give up.
Doing actually. I've been applying to jobs, that like writing jobs. I've been going to like different places, you know, trying to submit. It's just really, really hard. That's another thing. I don't mean to bring up the race thing again, but usually when black people apply for writing jobs, they hardly get it. They hardly get writing jobs because America has this notion that great writers are Caucasian. And there was an article that was written that talked about this, and it talked about how when a person of color writes, people are automatically looking for the grammatical errors in the article, whereas if a white person writes, people will bypass grammatical errors. Yeah.
Okay, so let me ask you this. We're just talking now, and we're still in the interview, but where are these findings coming from? Because, you know, I graduated from Baylor University in Waco. I'm in Waco. I would be a minority at Baylor University, but I also attended an all-African-American, well, mostly African-American, maybe 80% African-American university, so I've had both sides. And then I attended Catholic school as well. So let me ask you this. Where are these particular findings coming from, or are these experiences? Because I think part of what society is thinking as far as the negative perception of African-Americans or whomever is maybe from experiences, and we're going to have to change our mindset. So where are where are these findings coming from?
Well, that last article that I just quoted, I didn't write it at all. I believe a white man wrote that article. It's just, I guess, people's, first of all, their experiences, of course, and then they'll do a poll. You know, they actually poll people and get people's opinion on the matter. And then, you know, sort of kind of like the experiment that I did with the employment experiment. It was actually like a poll that I took to see who would bite on the resumes. So with them, same thing. It's a poll that they took.
Okay. I'm really interested in this. Is this would this be something nationwide, or did you guys just target a particular? Do a lot of people have access to, you know, take these surveys and things?
I'm pretty sure that they do.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that they do. I mean, anybody can take a survey. I know when I was in school, I saw plenty of kids taking surveys all the time. They'll hand out these little ballots, ask people to complete them, and, you know, submit the ballot in a private box. So, I mean, surveys can be taken in any type of manner. Not to say that what is on a survey, the findings are true, but it does give it gives a general idea of how people think on a normal basis. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay. All right, that was interesting. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to read some more of your articles, too, but I want to tell you I really we're going to do another interview because I really want to follow up with you. But, don't give up because you have just wonderful talent and you're a wonderful person. And I want you to stay encouraged.
You're about to make me cry here.
Okay. Well, I'm just telling you. I'm just giving you what I need to give you here. Just stay encouraged and keep trying and you're going to get something. Pray to God and keep trying. And please, this is what I want you to do, seriously. I want you to, I don't want you to throw away any of the perceptions, but I want you to start look at it from a positive perspective as far as your job outlook. Be yourself.
Yeah.
Be Yolanda Spivey. Apply for those jobs. Pray to God, and God's going to give you what you need. Sometimes God shuts doors, open doors, He leaves doors ajar. You thank Him for closing those doors. You praise Him for opening them, and those doors that are ajar, you trust Him.
Yes.
Because
Amen.
You have the talent. If you can write, Miss Spivey, then you can pretty much do anything. What is your degree in?
In English writing.
See,
I have 3 degrees.
Okay,
actually.
So we have a connection here. And when I'm on
Women and Gender Studies.
Yeah, and every article that I've read was perfect. There's no errors or anything. So
the only thing
that's probably holding you back now is you're afraid to be who you are and apply because you think you're not going to get it. You have to change your mindset, apply, have confidence, and pray to God. That's it.
Yeah.
And then you call me back in a couple of months and you tell me, give me an update on what happened.
Uh-oh.
Stay in touch with me,
will
Yolanda.
Love. I will.
All right. And I appreciate you so much. I definitely want to interview you again when your book comes out.
Yeah.
And just thank you so much. Is there anything else you have?
No. Anything else you may want to discuss, I don't know. But yes, there is something I would like to add. I started a new website. Oh, my goodness. How can it just, skip my mind? I started a new website called blackinsurancenews.com. So if you guys can go to that website, blackinsurancenews.com, and subscribe to it. And also, so you guys can get the newsletters. But it's a website that's dedicated to news about insurance. And I know that may sound kind of boring, but I'm here to try to educate the Black community on the importance of buying life insurance and all types of insurance and why we need it and how we can use the insurance tool for empowerment. So please take a look at that, blackinsurancenews.com.
And let me ask you this. So when they go to this particular website, can they buy insurance from you?
They sure can. I have a brokerage call.
Oh, well, praise the Lord.
Yes, Michael Whitney and Associates. So if they go to www.mwhitney.com, they'll see my brokerage. And, yes, they can purchase insurance from any state around the United States, I can sell you insurance.
Okay. Now, sister, when you're describing this website, you say this is an exciting website. Don't ever tell us it's boring. It's exciting.
Well, insurance, people are like, oh, who cares about insurance? But I have some great articles up there. People need to go check them out.
Miss Bobby, I'm going to have to keep in touch with you. We're going to have to work together or something. I'm going to have to keep in touch.
Yes, we do. Definitely. Please,
yes,
Miss Love,
ma'am.
Please do. All right.
I will. And you know what? I appreciate you so much. I love your spirit. And please stay in touch with me, Miss Bobby. And thank you once again for taking our time. I know you have a million things to do. But thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. Have a good day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was Miss Yolanda Spivey. And please check out her exciting insurance website, blackinsurancenews.com. Please check it out. And once again, that's Miss Yolanda Spivey. If you go to Facebook, You can also type in Yolanda Spivey. If you also go to, Black World, you can also see some of her articles that she has written. So please be sure to go and read some of her articles. Now I have a few announcements. Be sure to continue to uplift, encourage, and empower your family and friends by asking them, telling them to log on to blogtalkradio.com/freedomlove. That's blogtalkradio.com/FREDALOVE. Perfecting Your Walk Guide is out. It has been out. It is on Amazon. It is on Google. It is on Follis.com. It is on Bookworld. That's BookWhirl.com. I will be taking some of those particular guides with me to Atlanta, Georgia. So please stop by and collect one of your guides. In addition to that, gospel artists, artists, promoters, writers, authors, poets, publishers, community leaders, positive community leaders, please, please, Facebook Al Freda Love at ALFREDALOVE or FREDALOVE, or you can email me at EMONYA_love@yahoo.com. I would love, love, love to connect with you, and I would love to have you on the ministry. Remember to continue to pray for 95 individuals. If you have to pray for all of your family members, put them all on one line and pray for them one by one, and do not forget to pray for yourselves. In addition to that, the CIC Communities in Christ is off to a great start. We are kicking it off and having different individuals from all over the world. We're sending out letters, and individuals are actually going out into the communities once every month or once every 2 months, and we're spreading the news that Jesus Christ is still alive and it is not too late to find Jesus Christ. And that particular project is entitled Communities in Christ. In addition to that, there are several events coming up this week. We have, if you remember, Ms. Shante Stewart, their church is having a musical on Friday. At her church, I will have more information on that on our next segment, which I will make that on actually Wednesday, which is tomorrow. I will have more information. She is a great psalmist. She also has a CD that's out that she recorded with a couple of gospel artists, and she's just a great psalmist. So please check her out. Google Shante Stewart, and you will catch her on iTunes. They have a CD out, and also make sure that if you're in the Waco area or if you're close to Waco, please come out and support their musical, which is on Friday, and I will have the time and the place and the date, which is Friday, of course. That's the day, but I'll have the information. Okay. In addition to that, make sure that you continue to watch my Facebook page, as there will be exciting news coming up. Continue to watch my page for different artists that have submitted their music and different artists who are up and coming. We will travel out to Atlanta, Georgia, and some more places, so please be sure to pray for us as we do that. In addition to that, if you need a speaker, please contact AlfredaLove at EMONYA_love@yahoo.com. I speak about radio communication, empowerment, youth. I speak about the gospel. I speak about things concerning religion, things concerning community, education, health, fitness, wellness, things of that nature. Please connect with me. You can Facebook me as well. In addition to that, I want to thank each and every one of you for posting your flyers. I will post them on my website. I also want to thank all the radio guests who have submitted their request to come on the ministry. We are looking forward to different teachers and individuals in the community who will come on the ministry and share some of the things that are actually going on in the community, like Ms. Yolanda Spivey. I really appreciate her because she gave us a perspective of how people actually feel about the African-American race, how some people feel about the African-American race. And these are issues that I'm writing down because we need to be able to speak and address those issues, and we need to find solutions to those problems. In addition to that, I want to continue to thank all of my newcomers. I want to thank those individuals who have been with me since day one, those newcomers who are with me today. I had 6 people join, praise the Lord. And so please be sure to go to the blogtalkradio.com/freedomlove site and check out all of the shows that we've had, because we've had some exciting people, gospel artists. We've had writers like Yolanda Spivey, who you was able to hear today. We've had just a plethora of people who have come on the ministry, and we thank them and we bless them in Jesus' name. On tomorrow, please be sure to join Alfreda Love as we go higher in the Lord and we begin to pray unto God until heaven opens up. You do recall this is our We're going into our third day, and we're praying unto God. Remember to pray tonight before you go to bed, because God is getting ready to do some immaculate things. This is what God placed on my heart, and I want to give it to you. I want you guys to begin to think positive. There are a lot of things going on in the world today. There are a lot of, I've been reading about parents and children. I've been reading about elderly people and children, and I've read some things, just a plethora of things that's going on in the world. I want you guys to begin to think positive, and I want you to begin to pray. I want you to begin to pray for your kids before they go to school. Pray for them just each and every day. It's always good, whether you believe in God or not, it's always good to cover your kids with the Word of God. And what I mean by that is to pray over them before they go to school, because we never know what is out waiting on them. The devil is very sneaky. The devil tries to throw whatever he can, and he doesn't care how old you are. He doesn't care how old your kids are. The devil is after our children. He's after our adults. He's after the saints. He's after everyone who is trying to follow in the footsteps of God. The devil is busy at trying to make people think negative. He's trying to keep people away from what they're supposed to be doing. But the devil is a liar, and he's a deceiver too. And we serve a true and living God who is able to do everything but fail. So if you are thinking that you're not good enough, if you're thinking that you can't do it, if you're thinking that because I look this way or because I have this or because I don't have this, I can't do this, God says you can in Jesus' name. He says whatever is willed in your life, you can receive, but you must be willing to what? Accept. Okay? So therefore, I want you guys to begin to think on a positive note. There are a lot of things that's messed up in this world. I know it. But the Lord says we have to remain focused. He said think on the good things, and that's scripture. He says, think on the good things, and I want you to remember to do that because it's very important. But the most important thing, if you don't get anything else out of this particular segment, out of these announcements that I'm speaking about, I want you to pray over your children. It's very important that you pray over your children. It doesn't matter if you're an atheist. It doesn't matter if you don't believe in God. It doesn't matter if you're not a preacher. It doesn't matter if you're not an evangelist. You need to pray over them and watch something happen. Because there's something about being covered. I was listening to a police officer, a trooper, speak the other day. And the trooper says, I don't go out without his bulletproof jacket on the front and back. And God is saying we must put on the full armor of God so that we can be ready. And you must put on the full armor of God, which is prayer and supplication. God is not saying pack weapons and things like that. He's saying put on the full armor, which is the Word of God, praying over your children. Every day, it doesn't matter if they're 17, 18, pray over them, okay? We have to start going back to Christ. He is our only source. It doesn't matter. You can live in a mansion. You can live in a regular house. You can be homeless. You still need to pray over your children because the devil doesn't care who you are, who your parents are, where you live, where you came from, who you believe in. The devil will try to distract you, and you have to tell him to get behind me. You can't let him get in front of you. You can't let him be on the side of you. And then, too, you can't let him be behind you either. Okay? So you have to be covered. That's why it's so important that we are covered by God's grace and mercy. So pray over your children. It's very important. If you don't know how to pray, the Lord teaches us to pray. He said, and when you pray, it's our Father, which art in heaven. That's how we are to pray, and you continue to pray. If you have to say, Lord, have mercy, do that. But it's very important that we pray. I cannot stress it enough. I thank God for giving me this platform in order to be able to convey this message. You know, and that's found in Matthew 6 and 9. It tells us how we should pray, okay? And it's very important that you pray for your children. And as far as the different things that's going on, we're getting ready to change some stuff in Jesus' name. We're getting ready to change some things in Jesus' name. So once again, I appreciate each and every one of you. I love each and every one of you who's listening. I love those who are going to listen and those who have listened. I pray that you have a blessed evening. Be sure that you pray tonight because we are praying and looking for something magnificent to happen, because we know that God is able to do everything but fail. So without further ado, I would like to say thank you all for everything, for listening. I would like to thank Ms. Yolanda Spivey for her insight. You know, be sure to support her writings. Look up blackinsurancenews.com. She has some wonderful information on her website. Be sure to look that up. Continue to pray one for another. Continue to be good and continue to be blessed, okay? So join me on tomorrow as we will pray with love and we will pray until heaven opens up. Once again, if someone asks you what that big, beautiful smile is all about, you tell them that you're smiling because God is love. Until next time, which is tomorrow, you be sure to take care of yourselves. Goodbye, everybody.